You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
But now we're turning to the matter of antimatter and to an experimental discovery that's another highlight of this year. In July, a team of physicists at Stanford University found evidence of particles that are their own antiparticles.
In the 1920s, British physicist Paul Dirac realized that particles, like electrons for example, have antimatter counterparts with the same mass, but with other properties, such as their charge, reversed. So, the negatively charged electron has a positively charged antiparticle called the positron.
And in the 1930s, Italian physicist Ettore Majorana realized that some particles belonging to the same family as electrons, the fermion family, might be their own antiparticle. They are officially called Majorana fermions, but unofficially they have been dubbed angel particles in reference to the best-selling 2000 thriller Angels and Demons by Scott Brown?
No, that guy, Dan Brown, the one who does the Da Vinci Code, that guy. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Angels and Demons by Dan Brown, in which a secret brotherhood plots to blow up the Vatican with a time bomb whose explosive power comes from matter, antimatter, This is a hard script.
It's not my fault. It's these people making these discoveries.
They are officially called Majorana fermions, but unofficially they have been dubbed angel particles in reference to the best-selling 2000 thriller Angels and Demons by Dan Brown, in which a secret brotherhood plots to blow up the Vatican with a time bomb whose explosive power comes from matter-antimatter annihilation.
Earlier, I caught up with Stanford team leader Kang L. Wang to find out how to make Majorana fermions in the lab and how they might one day help engineers trying to build super-fast computers. But first, Wang began by describing how these angel particles could tell us more about our own cosmic origins.
You know, today we know we have matters and antimatters. So what we are, human being, or the real world, the so-called matters. But there should be a antimatter somewhere, which what happens to them.
So, right, yes, that's absolutely a huge question you're referring to there, you know, the mystery of why there's more matter than antimatter.
Right, and that's what's so interesting, because related to what we are, the existence of us, that's from cosmology and particle theory point of view. So cosmology is begin to think about, hey, maybe Big Bang somehow disturbed the balance of the particles and matters and antimatters, and pushed towards what we know matters. And so it has an implication of what we are. And so the particle physicists and cosmologists is very interested since then.
Kang L. Wang, a physicist at Stanford University, is describing one reason why physicists are so interested in antimatter, the particle twins to the normal matter that makes up humans and all we see around us in the everyday world. During the Big Bang, matter and antimatter are supposed to have been created in equal quantities. But if that was the case, these oppositely charged but otherwise largely identical particles would have recombined together, vanishing from existence. But that didn't happen. Instead, today, we see a world made from matter. So what happened to the antimatter? This foundational question is one of the reasons Wang is so excited about Majorana fermions, particles that are their own antiparticles. He and his colleagues at Stanford recently generated such Majorana fermions in the lab. But before describing exactly how they achieved this feat, he explains another motivation for his interest in these weird particles. They could serve as the building blocks of a quantum computer, a machine which could exploit quantum effects to zip through certain tasks and calculations that would take a conventional computer an astronomically long time to carry out.
Then suddenly they'll be interested in so-called quantum computing, and it can solve exponentially hard problem, meaning traditional computer, if you increase the complexity of the problem, the resources, that is number of transistor, whatever that is, increase exponentially.
One of the key materials for building quantum computers is a superconductor. Inside such a material, electrons pair up, forming Cooper pairs, allowing them to move quickly through the material without resistance. In 2000, physicists realized that this process might also play a role in creating Majorana fermions within the material.
So since 2000, a theorist also predict by putting the nanowires interface with superconductors. Now, because superconductors has this Cooper pairs, and the interacting energies, what happens is that any interaction will make it this quantum space twice bigger. What does that mean? That means that electrons somehow split into two pairs, and they shown that it's two pairs of Majorana fermion.
And this is why we call them quasi-particles, because they're existing inside the material.
Exactly. That's the solid-state version of Majorana fermions.
In recent years, experimenters have tried to create Majorana particles in the lab, and they have seen convincing glimpses, though they have not been able to prove so definitively to everyone's satisfaction. Wang and his team hope to generate these particles within a material without any shadow of a doubt.
The question, of course, they observed some signature like a peak, but the community debated for a long time, thinking this can come from, say, for example, Condor effect, many-body interaction of the solids, so they've never been settled. So the debate continued, and our experiments is to avoid this, all the confusion of the peaks here and there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we want to make sure our measurements can be referred to a quantized number.
Features of particles are said to be quantized if they cannot change continuously, but only through discrete steps. In this case, the team was interested in conductance, a measure of how easily electric charges move through a material. If Majorana fermions are created, then this conductance shouldn't increase smoothly, but in jumps.
So we want to use a quantization to ascertain if indeed electron is split into two sets of Majorana fermions. That's how we set forth.
The Stanford experiment to generate Majorana fermions and their quantized conductance started with another exotic ingredient, a so-called topological insulator that took around 10 years to grow in the lab. This is a specially designed material that is an insulator on the inside, so it doesn't conduct electricity through its interior. But electrons can move along its edges, conducting electricity along its surface. Wang explains how the team employed the topological insulator with a touch of magnetism sprinkled in their experiment.
Now, how to do that? It's a very intricate process, right? To grow this topological insulator is cumulative years of close to 10 years, right? In fact, the conception was conceived in 2003. This is what is so unique about what we're doing in the past 10 years. So what we did, you take a topological insulator, you dope with the magnetic material, so it becomes magnetic topological insulator in essence. And they will do the same thing. The electron will become moving on the edge only, and they are quantized, and they are also dissipationless. So now we have this edge conduction without dissipation, exactly what we're looking for, all conductance quantized.
Electrons can only travel along the edge of this magnetic topological insulator. The special material is then sandwiched together with a superconductor, which, as Wang explains, acts as the medium in which Majorana particles can be generated.
Because I mentioned you need to create Majorana fermions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And superconductor is like an ocean, right? If you drop something in the ocean, something split up. If you do not have an ocean, then just on land, nothing happens, right? You have to go to a different space. And the superconductor is the media to create a different space, which is called Majorana space for you.
And indeed, when the superconductor is sandwiched on top of the magnetic topological insulator, the team has all the ingredients in place to generate Majorana particles, at least in theory. The trouble comes when they try to detect them. The Majorana fermions tend to move around in pairs, but when the properties of a pair of Majorana fermions are measured together, they just look like the properties of an electron. So you cannot be sure that the Majorana particles are really there. The trick is to split the pair apart and measure the conductance signature of a single Majorana particle. Wang.
You may have Majorana fermion, but you detect two sets of them, then that becomes just like you measure electrons, so no difference, you cannot tell.
You were sort of saying in order to be able to detect it properly, you kind of want to split those to...
Exactly, you got it right there. You've got to split so that otherwise you detect electrons only. Now, how do I change the phase so that I can split my two sets of Majorana fermion up to one set, right?
Yes.
So the way to do it is by adjust small magnetic field, very weak magnetic field. Remember, too high the magnetic field destroy the superconductor. But you have a very small magnetic field, and you can show that if you adjust the small magnetic field, one can make a topological phase transition so that one can split two Majorana fermion into one. And by doing so, we can measure the conductance of the channel, of the single Majorana fermion conductance channel, which end up would be one half of electron conduction.
Oh, right. And so how excited were you when you found, you know, that this was working?
Anytime you see quantization, always very exciting, right? This quantization is the, is everything. Now we see half a step, even more exciting.
And you sort of, you mentioned that, you know, one of the reasons this is kind of interesting to you was in terms of thinking about quantum computing. So are people thinking about using these Majorana fermions as qubits themselves?
As I mentioned before, in a different approach in past 25 years of 30 years of quantum computing work, the key problem or the critical challenge is decoherence of qubits, that's entangled qubits. That is the flipping error or phase error. So that's the reason prohibit people to go in many qubits. With the Majorana fermions, you could do a localized Majorana fermion state. Therefore, it should be topologically protected from this decoherency physical processes. This is the basis of so-called topological quantum computing. This will be very robust, so that people are very interested in that, besides cosmology and particle theories. And that's the reason last 10 years, a tremendous amount of effort in solid state tried to work on that.
And then, you know, you mentioned also the cosmology, the particle physics side of trying to understand this puzzle about matter and antimatter and where all the antimatter has disappeared. And also there are huge experiments trying to create, you know, antimatter.
And Majorana fermion too, to identify too.
Yes, yes, yes. So now, you know, we've made it in the lab in this kind of quasi-particle form. Mm-hmm. What bearing does that have on questions of whether Majorana fermions can exist as, you know, elementary fundamental particles out there, you know, in the world, in the universe?
So I think this book inspired the other side of work. Say, hey, I have now more confidence to look for, because before they were not so sure. Because after all, Majorana proposed it, and therefore it's a hypothesis only, right?
Yeah.
So I think that will be the impetus of this work toward other areas.
And if you can create these in quasi-particle form in the lab, is there some way to control them and to do experiments with them to understand more about their fundamental properties, perhaps, to see...
Excellent, excellent question. That lies ahead of us. So we have planned to say, okay, can we make this Majorana fermion, can we then interact with another Majorana fermion, which the technical term is called braiding. Braiding is like, you know, weaving sweater. You can do by weaving, right? And this is similar, the technical term is called braiding. So that by braiding this Majorana fermion, we major step forward to understand this set of Majorana fermion. So a lot of work lies ahead for us.
Thank you to Kang L. Wang for chatting with Zia. You'll find links to more information about the Stanford team's experiment on the podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast.
It's also worth going back and listening to our rundown of the top physics stories of 2012 in the December edition of that year, where we picked out and discussed an earlier glimpse of Majorana particles in the lab.